The story takes place from June 2008 to May 2009. For safety reasons, I'm going to call my ex Caesar. I was 19 years old at the time, and I was sharing an apartment with my mom. The complex next to mine, which coincidentally I now live in, was doing some remodeling. They were having roofers come in to start with re-roofing the buildings. And this is how I met my ex. I was on my way down to the gas station to get a pack of cigarettes. When he noticed me, he had asked me for my number. That was what little English he could speak. I knew some Spanish, and I gave him my number. He texted me, and I had translated my text from English to Spanish so that we could accommodate his struggles with learning the English language. I learned that he was 25 years old and he was from Mexico, but that he had relocated here to make some money to send home to his 4-year-old daughter. We started a relationship really quickly, even though there was a language barrier. Everything seemed to go well for the first couple of months. I started to notice that he would be texting someone, and his text message to her was "mi amor," which I understood to mean "my love." He also had pictures of her saved in his phone. I had started to question their relationship, and he told me that she was just his friend. Things were getting pretty serious between us, and he had met all of my family. He had also bought me a ring, sort of a promise ring, and I would wear it every day. One weekend he was over and one of my friends had come up that I hadn't seen in over a year. She got upset by something I was doing, and she asked me if I could talk with her privately. So we went into my room to talk, and she was yelling about something. Well, my ex then came into the room and he told me he was leaving. I then proceeded to follow him, trying to understand why, and all he kept saying was that I was cheating on him and that he had heard me doing things with her in the room, which wasn't anywhere near the truth. He then insisted that I get into his car, and we argued the entire time. He then grabbed my ring that he gave me, literally pulling it off my finger and threw it. He ended up dropping me back off at my apartment and driving away. I was devastated. Then he started trying to call me to apologize, but I told him that I didn't want to talk to him. About an hour later, a bomb was dropped on me. Some girl calls me saying that she's his wife, and it turns out to be the same girl in the pictures on his phone. I didn't hear from him for a few weeks. Sometime after that, he had texted me telling me that it was actually his friend, and that they were just pretending that it was his wife because he wanted to upset me and that he wanted to come over. So I took him back. It was also my birthday around this time, so he took me out to dinner. I was turning 20, and it was a pretty big deal for me because I was no longer a teenager. We ended up hooking up earlier in the morning before going out to eat, but then out of nowhere, right after we hooked up, he then told me that he didn't want to be with me anymore, and he was breaking up with me on my birthday. It didn't last long though, and before long, he had once again asked for another chance, which I gave him. In hindsight, I just had really low self-esteem, and I didn't want to be single. It was Christmas of 2008, and he had came over to celebrate Christmas with us because he didn't have any family of his own in the U.S. We welcomed him with open arms, got him gifts and everything. On Christmas Eve, my family had a tradition where we would go to church at night, and I had asked him to come to church with us, but he refused. He wanted to get drunk instead. When I came home later that night, he was acting very weird, and he told me he was going to go see the girl that was supposedly his friend, but also his ex. I told him that if he left, there wouldn't be any other chances, and it would be over for good. He still left. After he left, he had made multiple attempts to call me. At this time, I didn't have a cell phone because my finances were really tight, and I couldn't afford to refill my phone, so I just had a landline. Well, he called, and he left a bunch of very angry messages because I wasn't answering. It was now December 31st. My brother-in-law's birthday was the night before, so we had to celebrate his birthday at my apartment. My brother-in-law and sister were sleeping off their drunken stupor, and I hadn't been feeling very well, so I didn't partake in the activities. Not to mention, I had to go to work on New Year's Eve. It was probably around 5 a.m., maybe 6 a.m., and there was a knock at the door. My brother-in-law answered and he told me that it was my ex at the door wanting to talk to me. I told him that I'd be back and that we were going to go talk in his car. I got in his car to talk and he asked if I'd go to the 24-hour grocery store with him to go get some cigarettes. Side note, I live right near the freeway. When you leave my complex and you turn right and then you make another right, you can go left to get to the grocery store or you can turn right, which is right where the freeway on-ramp is. I knew that something was wrong when he didn't go left and got on the freeway. I have asthma, and I had started lying, telling him that I was having an asthma attack to try and do anything I could to get him to pull over and let me out of the car. He kept telling me that I was cheating on him, even though we had broken up, and every time I tried to deny it, he would just swerve towards other cars. I ended up agreeing with him because I thought it was safer for me to lie and just tell him what he wanted to hear. It didn't take me long to realize that the cup holder in his car had an open bottle of beer. Looking in the back seat, there was an empty 18-pack of beer and a freshly opened pack missing one beer. It then began to dawn on me just how much danger I was actually in. We passed several state troopers along the way, and not a single one of them pulled us over. At one point, we were passing by the curve that also overlooks the lake, and he told me that he wanted to crash the car into the lake. That way we could be together forever. My mom woke up in a panic and had asked my sister where I was, and my sister told her that I went outside to talk to my ex. She immediately put on her shoes and then went outside. She then began to panic even more when she realized his car wasn't outside anymore. She called the police immediately, telling them she was scared that something very bad has happened to me. She called my ex, but all he said was that I was sleeping, and that's why she couldn't talk to me. All while he had his hand over my mouth the entire time. He then told her that I wouldn't be around anymore in broken English. She, of course, relayed all of this information to the police. The police brought on a translator to try and talk him into letting me go. But he wasn't staying on the phone with the police. He hung up on them. We've now been driving about half an hour when he then decided to stop for gas and cigarettes. We had stopped at a 7-Eleven and I had to go to the bathroom. I hadn't gone to the bathroom yet that morning, and he told me that after we stopped at the 7-Eleven, he would actually bring me back home. Before I got out of the car to see about using the bathroom, he had put a knife up to my throat, and he told me that if I tried to ask for help, he would kill me. I went into the store to find out that they didn't have any public bathrooms. He told me he was going to bring me home, so I had no choice but to get back into the car with him. But instead of hopping on the freeway to go north, he had hopped on the freeway to go south, the opposite way of where I live. While we were in the car, he then told me that he was taking me to his friend's house instead. And he pretty much told me in detail that they had plans to kill me and then hide my body so that no one would ever find it. After an hour, I had begged him to stop at a rest stop so I could use the bathroom. He told me he would bring me back home after we left the rest stop. I went to the bathroom while he was in his car smoking, and I had no choice but to get back in the car with him. At this point, I'm about an hour away from home and it's winter. But I live in a place that primarily gets rain during the winter, so there wasn't any snow, but it was very cold. I was expecting it to be quick, so I didn't put on a jacket, and I just had flip-flops on. I was just wearing PJs and flip-flops and nothing else. I got back in the car, and he then told me that he was now leaving me at the rest stop. I had started panicking at this point because I didn't know what to do. But I noticed that there was a payphone nearby. I didn't have any identification or money on me, but I knew that I could place a collect call. Once I saw him pull away, I then ran to the payphone and called my house. My brother-in-law was still a little drunk, and he couldn't drive safely, so I was pretty much stranded at a rest area an hour away from my home. I was supposed to be at work, but my mom had called my work and let them know what was going on. And since my mom and I worked at the same place, she had told her boss that until I was home safe, she wasn't coming in either. After talking on the phone with my sister, I had called the police from the payphone and told them the rest stop I was at. While I was on the phone with them and telling them what happened and that I was stranded and that I had no way to get back, my ex then pulled back around at the rest stop. Now, there were three directions you could go. One that led to the freeway, one that led to a different parking lot, and then one that would loop back around to the parking lot that I was in. I saw him pull up and I started panicking, telling the dispatcher that he was back. She wanted me to stay on the line with her, but he grabbed the payphone out of my hand and then hung it up. She told me that the police were on their way before I hung up on her. He then tried pulling me into his car, but I started making noise, hoping there was someone who would hear me. Sure enough, I then got the attention of a groundskeeper who had just come to make sure that all of the facilities were clean. He immediately approached while everything was taking place and asked if I needed help. My ex got paranoid and then jumped back into his car and left. I told the guy that the police were on their way, and he stayed with me until the police came. I had told the state trooper everything that happened, and he had called the police in town just to confirm that I was telling the truth. Turns out I was two whole counties away from my home. The county police also showed up, and they got special permission to transport me to the next county over, where an officer from my county would then meet them to transport me home. Before they took me home, the officer, who was really nice, asked if she could take me to the fire station so that I could warm up and then she could take a statement of everything that happened. We sat down in the station, and she had turned on a videotape recorder, recording my statement of everything that happened from start to finish. Then she took me home afterwards. She had called my mom on the way there just to let her know I was safe and that she was about to pull up with me. My mom threw her arms around me and gave me the biggest hug, and I just broke down crying. She knew that something was wrong. She had a nightmare that he killed me. I guess you could call it mother's intuition that she knew that I wasn't safe and that I was in a dangerous situation. My sister convinced me to still go to work, saying that she thought it would be good for me to have a distraction. So my brother-in-law brought both me and my mom to work, and I actually did work the entire day. After we got off work, we were waiting for our ride. My mom had damaged her knee slipping on ice, so we would take specialized transportation through the bus company, and I would also come with her as her companion rider. We were standing outside the building, and to give you some context on how this is set up, it's a business park, so there's a building I work in, a building across the street, and then a building to the left. There's a little parking lot in between the building to the left and the building in the front. I had noticed a car sitting in a catty corner pointed directly at my building. I told my mom that I felt like it was just really off, and we decided to step inside since it was secure access and you couldn't get in the building without a badge. Sure enough, as soon as I stepped inside and the door closed, he had whipped his car around, and it was my ex, who then immediately sped off. We had called the police, and due to the fact that we were waiting on the police, the transportation couldn't stay, so they left without taking us. The police eventually came, and we had told them the situation, and I had to re-explain everything that happened earlier that day. We ended up calling my brother-in-law, and he and my sister picked up my mom and I and brought us both home. About a week later, I got a call from a detective who had been assigned to my case. After doing some digging, there was apparently another girl that was linked to him that had disappeared. Like, there was a whole missing person report on her and everything, and he was initially a suspect, but they had no proof of anything, so they let him go. It turned out that he had not only lied about his name, but he had lied about his age. He wasn't 25, he was 35. Right around that time, I noticed that I was also still feeling really sick. I had been sick for nearly a whole week, so I had made an appointment with the doctor. Well, I got the worst news I could possibly get at that time. They told me I was pregnant. My situation ended up getting a whole lot dangerous from there. I had to do everything I could to hide my pregnancy because he was now stalking me. He would randomly show up where I was at. I would call the police, but he'd always be gone before the police got there. Luckily, I didn't really start to show until around my 20-week scan. I knew that it wouldn't be safe for me to keep my baby because he kept showing up, so I made the painful decision to give him up for adoption. I just knew that I needed to protect him. My sister had also been struggling for a long time with her own fertility, so I let her adopt him. I was about 21 weeks pregnant, and he had showed up in my apartment late at night, pounding on my door and windows. But once again, he was always gone before the police got there. The police had us contact the domestic violence shelter, who contacted police transport, and they had also brought us to a hotel that they paid for. We returned back to my apartment the next day, and everything was fine for a couple of weeks. I had a domestic violence protection order hearing in place, and the detective on my case had his address, so they sent it there, hoping that he would show up at the court because they planned to arrest him. Of course, he didn't show up, but the judge granted the protection order anyway because of the circumstances of my case. 2 weeks later, he and the girl that he had planned to bring me to so that they could kill me showed up at our apartment in the middle of the night. We could see them outside our window trying to see if they could open the window from the outside. At this point, we realized that it wouldn't be safe for us to stay in that apartment. So we called the police, and the police came. But once again, arriving way too late. My sister and her husband drove 3 hours to our apartment, and they told us to pack whatever we could pack and then went back to their place. We ultimately decided to just move in with them for the safety of me, my mom, and my sister's unborn child, since I was now showing and very obviously pregnant. The detective on my case would stay in touch with me, and in July 2009, they told me that my ex had gone into the police station not too far from where I was currently living, and had turned himself into the police. He was extradited to the jail in town that I was living in and currently live in, and he was given a slap on the wrist. He was put into jail for 150 days before being deported back to Mexico. My sister didn't feel right adopting the baby since my ex had been deported, so I had planned to keep my son, but due to the trauma that I suffered from everything that I went through with his father, I just couldn't bond with him. I love him, but I couldn't bond with him. He was the spitting image of his father, and every time I would look at him, I would see his father. My sister did ultimately end up adopting my son because she fell in love with him immediately, and was already being more of a mother to him than me. It's been 15 years, and talking about it still makes me cry. I now have the privilege of knowing my son, who will be 15 soon. He knows what happened and why I gave him up for adoption. We have a really close relationship, and we talk every single day. It still really scares me that my ex might come back one day. After everything he put me through, I want nothing more than for him to burn in hell. Ladies, remember that if someone shows you their red flags early on, to believe those red flags and to not always believe in the best in people. Your life just may depend on it. Don't get into a car with a crazy ex. Even if they were never physically violent before, you have no idea what someone is truly capable of. Anyone can show you their true colors at any moment. Just keep that in mind. And please be careful out there. I had dated a creepy guy that turned out to be a murderer. As a teenager, I had waited couples in a local restaurant to pay for the gas for my car. That's where I met Mr. Creep. In my naive mind, he seemed normal at first, despite the fact that he was 20 and wanting to date a 17-year-old. Leaving my job after dark had really scared me, so I had taught myself to get in my car, shut the door, and then lock it in one fluid motion. It made me feel safe. One night, as I was leaving work and had just gotten into my car, Mr. Creep just seemed to appear out of nowhere, yanking my door handle to try and open it. I looked in his eyes in the split second before he smiled, and what I saw absolutely chilled my bones. I don't know how else to describe the evil that I saw. From then on, I was terrified of him, but I didn't let on because I was afraid of what he might do if I ever told him that I never wanted to see him again. After this, he constantly tried to impress me, and he had tried to invent ways of being alone with me, but my instinct was to run, so I avoided him. So about 2 weeks after this incident, the restaurant actually got robbed, and there was significant evidence against Mr. Creep that he was the one that did it, just not the kind that allowed the cops to charge him. I had sent all of my text conversations with Mr. Creep to the police chief, just in hopes that it would help. Mr. Creep had slowly slithered away after that, but I always looked over my shoulder nonetheless. About 5 years ago, he had messaged me on Facebook out of the blue. He had went on about his top secret military clearance, as well as a huge acreage that he owned. It made me nervous, and I felt like he was trying to spring a trap on me or something, but I just tried to put it out of my mind. Then today, I was looking at the news, and I had seen a post about an unsolved murder, what I saw was mugshot. He's now facing murder charges as well as two other violent felony charges. Don't get me wrong, I'm so glad to know that he's locked up, but I'm also so overwhelmed about how correct my instincts about him were. I'm really glad that I escaped him. When I was 14, I had my first relationship. I'll refer to this person as H. H had loved the outdoors, and we would walk along a secluded path that led to a bit of a cliff. I don't know how else to describe it. The story is a little short, but one afternoon we were walking up there. It was the place that we went to for privacy, and so that H could smoke and drink alcohol. He was pretty rebellious, while I was not. When we reached the top, we were doing what we usually did. The area was extremely secluded, and H had started telling me to jump off the cliff and into the water below. The path was hilly, so underneath us it was rocks and kind of like a stream and a lot of bushes and trees and things of that nature. I obviously said no, but H just kept encouraging me to do it. It creeped me out because if I jumped down, I would most definitely die, or at least be seriously injured. H had told me that he had done it before, and that I should do it too. This had to be a lie, and I just kept saying no. But H just kept on telling me to do it, and he even tried to shove me off at one point. We had a huge argument, and I ended up walking off, but I was really scared to turn my back on H fully because they had actually attempted to push me off prior. H gave me the silent treatment for refusing to jump off, and every time I think back to this experience, it really unnerves me. We had actually stayed together after this incident, and H started to do other weird stuff. They would do things like trying to set my hair on fire, and tried to set fires on that secluded path too. When I was 18, I found out that they were arrested for domestic violence. They literally began beating someone in public and had the police called. It really scares me to think back to that cliff incident. I really think H was trying to kill me. I know it sounds dramatic, but why else would they have wanted me to jump off like that? I mean, combined with everything else, it really creeps me out all these years later.